Well, you've probably heard that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they never will hurt me. Not a lot of truth in that, though, is it? We all know that words are hurtful. Words are damaging. And words are powerful. And sometimes they can hurt more than sticks and stones can. Solomon, the wisest of all, spoke this proverb in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Notice that. Death and life, both death and life, are in the power that we speak, in the words we speak, in the power of the tongue. Our, the contemporary English version reads, words can bring death or life. Too much talk, and you will eat everything you say. Have you ever been that experience? Eating what you've said? Things said quickly, and you've eaten your words, you've regretted your words. You wish you had them back. Because there's death and life in our words. Most of us experience both sides of that at times. We've experienced the damage of words as we've heard or spoken, you can't do that. You're not any good. You're ugly. You're a loser. You can't do anything right. And it brings death. Death to dreams. Death to self-esteem. Death to possibilities. On the other side, words can be powerful influences. I believe in you. I know you got this. You're a winner. You're beautiful. And it has a way of drawing that out of us, doesn't it? Words. Within them is the power of death or life. Many of us in this room remember that financial commercial that said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, in the culture of the kingdom of Israel, when Solomon spoke, people listened. Because he was wise enough to ask God for wisdom. And he imparted that wisdom in the Proverbs. And it's interesting, as you read the Proverbs, many of them deal with our words. And the power of our words. And that's what we're going to look at today, is some of his teachings about our words. We're in this series of faith lifts. And the reality is, our words can help others experience a faith lift. But our words can also damage a person's faith and damage their lives. There's death and life in our words. And then we're not going to be focused on the words others speak to us because we can't control that. What we can control is the words we speak to others. So that's what we're going to look at because that's the way Solomon speaks these teachings in the Scripture. And here's the first one, lesson I think we need to learn. There are three of them. The first, control your impulses and speak wisely. Control your impulses. Isn't that where the hurtful words generally come from? Impulses. Reactions. In Proverbs 12:18, he says, rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. rash words. Other translations reads careless words, thoughtless words. Careless, rash, reactionary words. They generally come out of our impulses in a reaction to someone and what they've done, or some situation, and out of the stress of our lives, out of the problems we're dealing with, comes these reactionary words. Rash words are like a sword thrust. I like the way the Good News translates the last part of that. But wisely spoken words can heal. Which are we speaking more often? Let me put it in this scenario. Have you ever had a rough day? The office, in your work, whatever it is. You're stressed out, you're tired. You come home and your spouse asks, "How's your day gone?" And out comes these, what? Rash words. Out comes these rash words, these careless words, as you let your frustration out on your spouse. Or have you ever been in that key moment of the ball game, watching on the television, when suddenly your kids or your grandkids come right in front of the TV, so you miss the play, and out comes rash words, careless words. Or in my case, you spend a week with your 5 grandchildren. And one's wanting to go to the pool and the other's wanting to go to the beach. And they don't want to compromise. And I must confess, some of those times were rash words as I look back on that. Not proud of it, because that's how we react so often. Rash words are those reactionary words. But healing words, look at it again. But wisely spoken words can heal. There are words that we think about. There are words that we control. Look at this next proverb. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is more than persuasive. Now, I don't think he intended that to mean that only those that we consider with a high intellect know how to speak healthy words. What he's trying to say to us is those who are wise in Christ, those who have the Spirit of Christ within them, think before they speak. Let me give you a scenario. A father and son were fixing the son's bicycle. And so the father sends the son to go get a wrench. And after a little while, the son comes back and there's nothing in his hands. There's a choice in there. Many of us would have responded to that, "Where's the wrench? Don't you know what I sent you after? Did you forget what you're supposed to do?" Kind of rash words, aren't they? What if we had used wise words? "Well, I see you didn't find the wrench. Must have not been where it's supposed to be. Let's go see if we can find it together." Change the whole scenario, doesn't it? How we speak our words, the words we speak, can bring life or bring death in every situation. And so how do we move to that place? How do we control our impulses and speak wise words? We pray. We pray. This prayer has become more mine as I've been working on this message. In Psalms 141, "Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say." I got a feeling that's a prayer that most all of us could pray. in situations of our lives. Lord, help me control. Because most of us can't do it on our own, can we? It's the power of the Spirit in us that helps us control our tongue and speak wise words. Here's the next lesson I learned. Conquer your bitterness and speak kindly. Conquer your bitterness and speak kindly. In Proverbs 15:4, we read, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Where do cruel words come from? They come from our bitterness. They come from our anger. They come from our frustration. And when those are the feelings of our lives, most of our words are going to be cruel. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. And I imagine every one of us can look at situations in our lives where we've seen both sides of that. One author said, hurtful words come out of a hurt heart. When our hearts are hurt, when we're felt that we've been hurt, when there's bitterness within us, we tend to react with hurtful words, cruel words, unkind words. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians, get rid of bitterness, passion, and anger. We got to get rid of it. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another. And forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ. Now that's a tall order, isn't it? To get rid of all the bitterness and all the anger, all the frustration, and begin to love and forgive as we've experienced forgiveness in Christ. Because I want you to know something this morning. No one has hurt you to the extent you've hurt your God. Hear that? No one has hurt you to the extent you've hurt your God. Your sin has broken God's heart. Your sin separated you from God. Just as your sin and other sin against you breaks relationships. But did God send anger towards you, cruel words toward you? He spoke the greatest word of love on the cross, saying, I love you anyway. I forgive you anyway. You don't have to do anything to make up for it. You just receive my forgiveness. That's the message of the cross. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to achieve it. It's just given. It's grace. So that Peter wrote, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. You see, Christ came to wipe away our sin and cleanse us and restore us. So how do we conquer bitterness and speak forgiveness to others? We pray. We pray. And it starts with a confession. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that as we acknowledge our sin, as we acknowledge our frustration, as we acknowledge our bitterness, He comes and cleanses us. How do we love? By opening ourselves to His love. How do we forgive? By opening ourselves to His forgiveness. How do we control our tongue? By opening ourselves to His Spirit. And as we confess our sin and struggle, He forgives us and enables us to speak words of forgiveness to others. And I want you to hear this. You want freedom? Freedom comes when you allow Him to forgive you so that you can forgive others. Because that's when the baggage is gone. When you allow Him to forgive you so that you can speak words of forgiveness to others. And it begins to free you inside. And it sets you free of that bitterness and anger where the cruel words come from. And you begin to speak words of life and hope and love toward others. Which brings me to the last thought. Look within yourselves and speak positively to others. Look within yourselves, because when it's all said and done, our words come from within us. So we look at one other proverb. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. My God. It's like a honeycomb. Notice in that culture, honey was not only a sweet, a source of sweetness in the mouth, but it also brought healing in the body. Now, I like honey. And I've discovered there's some value in healing there. I remember early in my life, a cough and stuff mixed with honey was the only thing that solved it. I didn't think it was so sweet with the other mixture with it, though. But there was healing power in it. And still, when I get a sore throat, no, I have some folks that just tell me, you got to put that honey in and mix it, and there's different scenarios, but it sure tastes better. And your cough will be a lot better. Well, you know, in our culture, though, there's probably other elements that kind of capture what he's saying, because we're not into honey as much as, milk chocolate. Chocolate is sweet. And it is, at least on some sources, good for the body. So some of you have been able to sit long enough and pay no attention to that bowl of chocolate underneath the chairs. Actually, it's on the end chair. Caleb, you still got some under your chair? Okay, you can get it out right now. And everyone else can. Whoever's sitting on this end, and if you're no one's sitting on that end, somebody needs to go to that end and get that bowl of chocolate. And get one and pass it down. Get one and pass it down. And yes, you can eat it. I know we generally say you can't eat in church, but you know, this is one of those times you can eat it. And when that chocolate goes inside and you begin to... Now, I don't know why I didn't put one up here for me. Y'all did get one up there, didn't you? All right. Thank you. But if I do that, then I'll have to quit talking for a moment. When that chocolate's going inside and the sweetness, what words do you want to speak? Thank you? Positive words? Appreciative words? Now, what if we had pulled a trick on you and had dipped every one of those in some mustard or something else to turn them bitter? Would there be thankful words coming out of your mouth? Probably not. Probably not. Now, if I dipped them in peanut butter, chocolate and peanut butter, that might have gone all right. But, you know, you get the point. My point is this. Your words come from what you're experiencing in you. That's what Solomon's saying. Honeycomb is that sweetness in the body. It brings healing. And it brings forth the words we speak. And when it's bitterness in our lives, that brings forth in our lives So Jesus put it this way, but the words that come out of your mouth come from your heart. That's the point I'm trying to make. What Solomon was making, the words you speak come out of your heart. It's what's in your heart. So that Paul wrote in Philippians, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You see, just as when you take that chocolate and put it in and you think about the goodness and the taste, and it comes out in an appreciative kind of way, what you fill your heart and mind with is going to come out of your life. So let me just suggest this. Think about the words you spoke this week. And let's say there's a scale of words. And on this side of the scale, you put in all the words you spoke out of anger, out of frustration, all those rash words, all those cruel words this week, and they're on this side. And on this side is that other scale, and that's those words you spoke out of love, out of grace, out of affirmation. Where would the scale come down in your life this week? And how do we shift the scales that we speak? Good words, healing words, sweet words. How do we change within so we speak positive words to others? You probably got the answer by now. We pray. We pray. The psalmist prayed in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a right spirit within me. He understood he couldn't do it. He needed God. And I've experienced that in my life. When I try to do it myself, it doesn't work. I need Him to create in me a clean and good heart and a loving heart so that I might speak those words of kindness and grace and lies. So hear it again. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb or a chocolate kiss, Hershey kiss. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. This week, we decide the words we speak. We decide. So that Paul said in Ephesians 4, I leave you with this, do not use harmful words, but only helpful words. The kind that build up and provide what is needed. So that what you say will do good to those who hear you. You see, you have the opportunity this week to speak a faith lift into people's lives. Or you have the opportunity to dampen their faith by the words you speak. What words will you speak? Let us pray. God, thank you for your word. We confess that it's a challenge in our lives at times. Because you really hit us when it gets down to the words we speak and we really consider them. You tell us to speak wise words, but we need your wisdom. You tell us to speak loving words. We need your love. You call us to be tender-hearted and kind and forgiving, and we need your forgiveness. Lord, may the sweetness of your grace bring healing and wholeness in our lives that lift us up so that we might make a difference in a positive way in the lives around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.